Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Football is back. AB is now with New England. Levy on the Jets. OBJ and Jarvis Landry have teamed up again in Cleveland and are hoping to get their first win. One thing that hasn't changed, though, where I'm placing my bets this season. My bookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. It has better bonuses and more prop bets than any sports book, period. My bookie has live in-game betting for every NFL game, even college as well. So if the game starts up, you can still place a bet. And right now, we got our first deposit bonus up to $1,000. So if you put $100 in, you get $100 back. You use the promo code ARMCHAIR, ARMCHAIR. And claim your offer. You bet, you'll win, you get paid. All right, guys, it's Watt Harris here with another Panther Rants podcast. Happy hump day. I might make it this podcast out today or tomorrow. I may just get out today just to get it out. My brother's at the Sermon of Mount Nittany. We're going to try to do a podcast tomorrow for a trash-talking one. This is the last game of the series. So we're going to try to get that done. So I can't promise that's going to happen, so don't get your hopes up. But we have a way of contacting each other, you know, as we collaborate. And I didn't see his message till 3 days later, and I was like, shit. Because we could have done it, way before then. But we're gonna get it. We're gonna figure out and get it done. And yeah, so hopefully we'll have a little fun, a little fun banter as Pitt gets ready to take on Penn State this Saturday, the last game of this series. You know, I'm not really too sad that this series is over. And after the way the last two games have gone in this series for Pitt, I can't wait for this series to be over. I mean, the goal of this series for me was to at least go 3-1. And we're going to go 2-2 if we win on Saturday. And the games that we lost, we got pretty much, they weren't close. I mean, game one should have never been close. We let them back in it, and we needed a late interception to beat them. But the next two games, well, I mean, game two, as we saw, we had no quarterback. Or, at all. We had nothing. After, when we saw with Kenny Pickett with Miami, we thought we would do well this past game, this third game of the series. But Pat Narduzzi did the whole, lock the players out of the media. And what we saw that Saturday is we saw the players came out tight. They made a whole bunch of mistakes. And by the second half, they just gave up. Penn State, rode and got 51 on us. We had no answer for them because, the quarterback play that we thought we had just wasn't there. And when we let Kenny throw, it was disastrous. And plus, our punting was disastrous. Our field goals were disastrous. Everything that could have went wrong in that game, went wrong. And now we're doing this whole, close out the media again. So the media is obviously upset. Me personally, if they're mad, they're mad. I just think it's your last game. This is the last time you're going to play Penn State, and it's going to be probably for a long time, probably decades. So why not let the players talk? Let them talk, and if they're going to talk trash, let them talk trash. Just as long as they back it up. And if they still get their asses beat, well, so what? What do we lose out of it? I mean, it's not going to be the first instance of a rivalry game where where your players talk trash and then get beat. So, let them talk. And if they're going to, talk noise, let them talk noise. Make it spicy. But no, we're not going to do that. Nope. Instead, our staff, obviously they must have acid reflux. They're going to take it the safe way out and not make it spicy. I mean, you could just grab a roll of Tums after you're done with all this, but regardless of what happens on Saturday, they may need some antacids anyway. Terrible. So really, there's next to no coverage of this, and I'm sure the media is trying to find some stories to figure out. But as far as the whole thing goes, when this is over, probably for the next 20 years, it's going to be the same old thing. The coaches talk about, you got one coach saying the game she played every year, and the other one saying, well, gee, we would love to play the game, but we just can't fit in our schedule. This is pretty much going to be the endless cycle like it was before the series got renewed. It's going to be the same old, and there's really, I think after this, Pitt fans should just really move on from this. We got West Virginia coming up. They're fun to hate. Go hate them. Because this one's over. And to be honest with you, it doesn't really have that intense rivalry as it once did. Mainly because we haven't played the game in so long. So I'm not really, I'm not going to lose sleep if this game, if this series is over and doesn't come back. If anything, Penn State don't have to own the state or run the state. They can coexist as two really good programs. Even Temple too. And, they can give kids in state options of not going, far away from home. If the kid doesn't, obviously like Penn State, or, Penn State doesn't offer, maybe he gets a Pitt offer. He goes to Pitt or Temple. Or if the kid doesn't like Penn State, if he doesn't like the Big Ten, he can go play in the ACC. If he doesn't like the ACC, he goes plays in the Big Ten. Or if it's either one, he goes and he plays, AAC. So I could see, bro programs coexisting. Obviously, Pitt has changed his recruiting territories because there's not as many local kids as there once was. And not to mention the whole entire Rust Belt. There's, at one time, Pitt used to get a lot of kids. And then once a lot of those places closed, population shifted, and, that was that. So as we look at Penn State, Pitt comes in 1-1, or a 17-point dog right now. I'm not too sure, as far as betting goes, which way you go with this. I think it depends on your allegiance, really. If your allegiance is Penn State, you're taking Penn State with a minus 17. If you're Pitt, you love Pitt, you're taking the plus 17. Personally, I think Pitt could cover because Penn State is starting a fresh new quarterback. Granted, he has two games under his belt. And they were against Buffalo and Idaho. Pitt could present him a challenge, and that's what they're going to have to do as a defense. They're going to have to challenge this offense. And they're going to have to dial it up and go out and get pressure on this quarterback because he hasn't really seen anything yet. So Pitt has to get, if anything, because if you give this guy plenty of time, just like Trace McSorley, he's going to pick us apart. I mean, Sean Clifford is his name. He's a sophomore. I think by the end of the year, he may be better than Trace McSorley ever was. He's a lot more mobile. He can run. And obviously, he can throw the ball as well. So, it dawns to no surprises why Tommy Stevens transferred out of Penn State. Tommy went to Mississippi State to play for Joe Moorhead. And I think around the time of the spring game, they could not commit to a starter. And that's why Tommy Stevens left. And if you watch Sean Clifford play, you can see why he left. Tommy wasn't fully healthy. So Penn State is not just going to give the... And he's had a injury history. So Penn State isn't just going to hand him the starting job when he's been injured a lot. Because what happens, you know, what happens then if he gets hurt again? They're stuck. So they had to, you know, make it a competition. And it ended pretty quickly when Tommy Stevens left. If anything, Tommy probably saw what Sean Clifford had to offer, and he kind of knew he was one injury away, probably from losing his job. Tommy Stevens is now in Mississippi State, and this past game he got hurt. And they're not sure about his status for this week. So he's a starter down Mississippi State. But again, he's injury issues again. This is why Penn State would not commit to him as their starting quarterback. I mean, I know it sounds crappy because he's done all they asked him to. But at the same time, you know, Penn State is trying to win games. They're trying to develop, you know, their players. And they're going to pick the guy with a hot hand. And obviously, you know, there hasn't been, you know, as we saw now, there hasn't really been much of a drop-off with Sean Clifford. I mean, last week against Buffalo, he was 16-22 for 279. He had four touchdowns, no picks. And he led the team in rushing as well. 11 carries. He ran 11 times for 51 yards. And, of course, he hit a long of 58. So, of course, you can tell he's been sacked a few times. But Penn State as a whole, they rushed for 24 carries for 70 yards against Buffalo. If you look at that, and of course, if you look at what Buffalo did against them on offense, Buffalo ran for 184 yards. They averaged about three yards a carry, though. And, you know, they also moved the ball pretty well against Penn State as well, especially in the first half they did. You know, they dialed up a lot of quick passes, and of course, obviously they dialed up some deep passes. So there was times they caught Penn State getting a little over aggressive, and they went to some short screens. But the turning point of that, it was 10-7 Buffalo at halftime, but the turning point came when Buffalo threw the pick six, and that was that. I mean, it was a bad throw, and you know. Penn State's got defensive backs. They can, you know, they're aggressive. They'll suffocate you, and they'll jump on. And if you make them one mistake, they'll jump on you. And that's what Kenny Pickett's going to have to avoid on Saturday, is making mistakes, because they're playing at State College, and they haven't won at State College since Ronald Reagan was president. So think about that one. So I can see Pitt covering a 17, but I can't really see them winning this game. But Pitt's offense can't move the ball, and that's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to move the ball, control the last scrimmage, probably eat the clock as well, because this offense, this team is no different from, you know, the Trace McSorley teams. They can strike at any time. But, like I said, they have not faced the actual defense yet. Pitt's defense has gone better, but... Last week, as one of my followers, you know, mentioned me this morning, Hamlin didn't have such a good game with Ohio, and they're going to need him to really be dialed in into this game, because James Franklin, as we all know, is going to be too merciful on us, And if anything, he will do anything in his power to blow us out and probably, you know, beat the spread as well. Because last week against Buffalo, his team barely covered. He made sure at the end that they covered that game. So, yeah, like I said, there's just a lot Pitt needs to do. Obviously, pressure the quarterback. Stop their running game. And, of course, we got to move the ball. I mean, we saw some things from Kenny Pickett last week where he was moving the ball, making throws. They weren't perfect throws, but he made them when it counted, and he put the ball where they can catch it. But there were some throws that he made where I saw, especially the ones at the line of scrimmage where he was throwing what looked to be a wide receiver screen. There was one in particular where if it was Penn State, they would have picked it off and took it the other way. So he can't get too comfortable. And I just hope Mark Whipple's in his ear. As far as our running game, we haven't really had – no back has really stood out. Vincent Davis really stood out this past week. And he obviously, I think, will get a lot of the carries. But none of the running backs have really – they haven't really caught our eye, you know, like Quadri and Darren Hall did. And I can see why Saloon transferred as well, because I think, you know, he probably thought he was better than these guys. And, yeah, because none of them have really caught our eye. And Vincent Davis, he did pretty well this past week. But we're going to need a lot. If he's going to be the guy, we're going to need a lot from him this weekend, because they're going to be playing us in front of 107K. And it's going to be loud. And for all you Penn State and Pitt fans watching the game, regardless of the outcome, you're going to have to make sure that you're going to be ready for after the game. You know, you may be too angry from the outcome, you know, to perform, and you know, you may just be too amped up, you know, maybe too many beers. But you got to make sure you're ready. So go to BlueChew.com and use the promo code CHAIR, CHAR, to get the first shipment on us. It's got the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. And you know what? I gave you the wrong promo code. It's armchair, ARMCHAIR. See, I almost screwed you guys up with that. So go to armchair and then you get the first shipment. You just pay $5. It comes maybe a few days. Who knows? If you order now, you may even get it right before you drive up to State College. Or maybe if you're up State College, get sent to your hotel room. Because who knows? You may want to celebrate later. But you got to make sure you're ready. So go to BlueChew.com. Enter the promo code ARMCHAIR, ARMCHAR. Check it out, guys. All right, so let's get back to the actual discussion. So my prediction, this is a tough one. I really don't see Pitt winning this game. If Pitt's going to win this game, it's not going to be in a shootout. Because I just thought this offense hasn't really done anything to make it seem like it'll be a shootout. They haven't scored in the second half. They've scored only 3 points in the second half in their last two games. Virginia shut them out, and they only got 3 points last week against Ohio. So here, one thing, you know, their main hope is to score a lot of points in the first half and hope the defense shuts them out in the second half. Because there's one thing we're going to need to do is score in the second half, because Penn State is a second-half team, and when adjustments are made, they're gonna kill us. But I see, if I had to give us a score, I'm going to go Yeah, that's how I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna go in my Homer-rific vision. I'm going with Pitt 16-7. Don't ask me how Pitt's gonna get 16. I can't see Kessman hitting 3 field goals, but God damn it, we're gonna get 16 points. And Penn State, we're gonna hold them to 7. Or maybe 16-14. But no, I like 16-7. If Penn State wins, you know, my non-homerific, if I'm going with Penn State, I think they will beat us 38-13. So there you go. If Pitt's going to cover, they're going to win. They're going to win 16-7. If they don't, Penn State's going to beat us by 25. So, yeah, that's what I'm going with. Now let's go around the ACC. We got North Carolina and Wake Forest on Friday at 6 o'clock Eastern Time, 5 Central. Wake is a 3-point dog in this game, and this is a hard one. But I think obviously I like North Carolina in this one. Wake is off to a decent start. I don't think North Carolina blows them out. I think Wake is going to give them some trouble. So yeah, I like North Carolina that one. Kansas and Boston College, I'm going with BC. I know Les Miles has done some things. BC's a 21-point favorite in this one, but I think Kansas, you know, with that defense with Les Miles, I think they beat the 21. Although they lost to Coastal Carolina 12-7, I think that defensively they'll keep it a close game. But then again, I'm no betting expert. NC State and West Virginia. NC State's a 6.5-point favorite. West Virginia got smashed by Missouri last week. I like NC State in this one. They're 6-point favorites, 6.5-point favorites. I like them in this one. And the over and under is 44.5. I think that goes over as well. Furman, Virginia Tech. Tech should win that one easily. But then again, Furman took Pitt to several overtimes, I think. Good luck with that. Georgia Tech and Citadel. Georgia Tech will win that one easy. Louisville and Western Kentucky. Louisville will win that one. Although, yeah, Western Kentucky, I believe, is Conference USA. But they may give Louisville some trouble, but I think they'll win. I think Louisville wins that one. Miami, Bethune-Cookman. Miami will win that one easily. Duke and Middle Tennessee. Ooh, this is a tough one. Duke's favored by 6.5. I'm going to go Middle Tennessee in this one. Clemson, Syracuse, after what happened last week. Clemson's 20 point favorites in this one. The only thing I can really think of what happened last week with Syracuse is maybe they didn't take Maryland all that seriously and they looked ahead to Clemson. But, yeah, Clemson's going to win this one if you're betting money line, but the spread's 20.5. I'm not so sure. 27.5 right now. I'm not sure about that. Florida State, Virginia. Virginia's a 7-point favorite. I like UVA in that one. And I think they'll beat the 7 points as well. All right, top 25. Friday, we got Washington State and Houston. That's going to be a fun game. But I think Washington State beats the crap out of the Cougars. Ohio State plays Indiana. Yeah, we know how that's going to go. Ohio State's 16.5-point favorite. Still win that one. Maryland Temple. I like Maryland. Bama plays South Carolina. SEC matchup. I like Bama. Will Muschamp. That's who's coaching them. UCF and Stanford. I like UCF. I don't think Stanford can, you know, unless Stanford can control the flow of that game with their power offense, I don't see it. USC and BYU, I think USC is 4-point favorites in this one, and I think USC is gonna. I think USC will dial them up. I don't know why I keep saying dial them up. Arizona State, Michigan State. Spartans are 14-point favorites. I like Michigan State. Not so sure about the spread though. I think Arizona State will beat the spread because they got more offense than Michigan State does. Iowa State, that's the big rivalry game. Somehow they, but for some reason, somehow they find, they always find a way to play it. Iowa's in the Big Ten and Iowa State's in the Big 12, but for some reason, they just figure it out. I like Iowa in that one. Florida, Kentucky. That's good. This, you know, Florida's been playing pretty good. I like Florida to beat Kentucky. And let's see, some primetime games, anything good. Oklahoma, UCLA. I'm sure maybe like 5 or 10 years ago, this would have been a marquee primetime game. But UCLA has been pretty bad. I think Jalen Hurts is going to destroy them. Texas and Rice. This would have been a marquee game 30 or 40 years ago. Texas will destroy them. Yeah, there's other than that, guys, there's nothing prime time that's really worth. Anything after probably 6 o'clock, well, there's Clemson Syracuse. That's obviously a fun game. Well, it was a fun game until last week when Syracuse got the crap kicked out of them. But other than that, if you got stuff to do Saturday night, there's really nothing worth staying home watching too. So go, have fun, go to a bar. I'm sure there'll be a game there, you could probably catch it there. Or if you're out betting, go on MyBookie or wherever you go and play some live bets, have a little fun, make some cash. There's the Pirate game. Yeah, the Pirate game's this weekend too. I think there's Pirates. I think Pirates are still playing. I mean, does anybody care if the Pirates are still playing? I don't think. And then, well, there's the Steelers. They got the Seahawks. I think it's either a Sunday night game or a Monday night game. I really don't care. I mean, it's funny. I used to live and die with the Steelers. And ever since I've been here the last 10 years, I don't, it's one of those things where if I catch the game, I catch it. But usually I'll look at the highlights and see what's gone wrong. But as far as the Steelers go, I think they'll be fine. I just think they need to fix some things on offense. It's just when your receiving corps is JJ, is Juju Schuster, and then if you look at the rest of the corps, it's just a big drop off. And Juju's a hell of a player, but he's not really Antonio Brown just yet. So I think what Steelers need to do is they need to do something with their offense, change something up. I don't know. But Antonio Brown, he's with the Patriots, and people are still upset over that, which is given. I totally get it. And there's been a lot of hot takes about it, and I kind of just have breezed right through that because I'm just ignoring it because he's there and there's nothing really to get angry about. Although Sally Jenkins wrote an article about how he was tied up to a contract, but that's the thing with these athletes. That's what happens when you sign a contract. So, as you know, now yesterday the big thing was he got hit with a civil lawsuit for rape, and I don't looking at this, he's obviously not going to go to jail because it's a civil suit. And looking at given his relationship with this person, they obviously the reason why it's probably civil in the first place is that they probably couldn't do criminal against him because of their relationship. They obviously had there were some videos released where they were playing with each other and being all friendly and whatnot. Obviously, with that evidence, it's kind of hard to go to a a criminal, for a criminal case, because she probably is going to have a hard time, putting him behind bars. But this here, it brings all the details to light, and I think if anything, he's probably just going to settle and, pay her what she wants. So, you know, I don't really see him getting a heavy suspension, if anything at all. I mean, Roethlisberger did, sure, but I think now it's, I just, you know, unless some more juicy details come out, you know, we saw the text messages and things like that, but unless more and more comes out, then I don't see anything. I really don't see much coming of this. Although there was an article, well, speaking of this whole thing, there was an article about, you know, Penn State and Sandusky, that supposedly some guy wrote a book about how he thinks Jerry Sandusky is not guilty of what he did. And I clicked the article, and basically the author read a bunch of John Ziegler articles and published a book from it. So basically took something that, you know, a conspiracy guy wrote and made into a book. So, you know, so that's his premise. I mean, it's like taking something from The Onion and, you know, trying to make it true. You know, I think what this whole Sandusky thing is, there were so many victims that came forward that it would be hard to prove him not guilty. And if he didn't do it, why was he put behind bars then? I mean, was it something else? Was the state hiding something? Was something, you know? There's got to be. I mean, if he's not guilty, then there's got to be other reasons they threw him behind bars like that. But I think that whole Sandusky thing is deeply rooted. It's not just Jerry's second mile. There was more. There was more players in this whole thing, and I believe he was put to a speedy trial. So these people would wash their hands of it, because there's a lot, you know, There was a lot more people that were involved in the whole second mile thing. There was the people that ran it that are, you know, that are free, that got to leave scot free with no punishment. And there's plenty of politicians and other high profile people. And, you know, obviously they got no punishment. And I think it's one thing that angers some Penn State people is they pretty much got held accountable for it all when it was more people involved. Anyway, guys, I'll talk to you guys on Monday. Hell to Pitt. Penn State sucks.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.